calling me Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Come on, Larry. Larry.
Is there no sweeter sound than that of your own name buried in cheers and applause? I think not. So when we finished Sinner Sunday, that episode just a couple days ago, what? You didn't know there was a spinoff from this show? Oh yes, Sinner Sunday just had its 15th, 1-5, count 'em, episode. Kicking ass with Samson, check it out. Hell, check them all out at thatlarryshow.com, where there's a complete archive. Except for the fantastic bonus episodes, which only Dojo members get to hear. If you want access to those, click the Patreon button at thatlarryshow.com. So really, the story of Samson is multi-layered. As strong as the guy was, he was equally stupid. His pointy girlfriend, Delilah, betrayed him not 1, 2, 3, but 4 times. And still, he hung around with her and finally divulged the secret of his strength. In no time flat, he was a blind slave. And not long after, he was dead. There are plenty of takeaways from that nutty story, but the elemental one is bad company. For some reason, when we hear the term bad company, we think of guy friends, right? Dudes who convince us to do nasty drugs or joyride in hot cars or steal things from work, shit like that. But for some reason, women don't immediately come to mind when we hear the old phrase, bad company. But they should, because women are exponentially more convincing than men. In fact, for some guys, we'll do anything some pointy vixen suggests we do, won't we? You know, I always forget, every show there are new listeners, and they may be unfamiliar with the female descriptor, pointy. I coined it many years ago, and it refers to women who have a certain look. Damn near everything about them comes to a point. Their fingers, their feet, the corners of their eyes, their mouths. They can be rail thin or Rubenesque, angular or curvy. Pointiness kind of transcends weight. What's an example of a pointy chick? Margot Robbie. Not pointy? Amy Schumer. But to prove it's not about weight, Tina Fey was never pointy, and she's never been heavy. On the other hand, Queen Latifah could be quite pointy. What really checks the boxes on a pointy chick is, does she look wicked? That's kind of a major component of pointy. In episode 15 of Sinner Sunday, we discussed an email I received from a listener and Patreonee named Douglas. He recently quit his job for a better one and forgot some of his stuff at the old job. So he asked a friend to clean out his desk for him. When the friend did this favor, the boss was so pissed off, he fired the guy on the spot. Wow, what a bitch boy of a boss. So fast forward a few weeks, and now, at Doug's new company, they're hiring. And he wants to do his pal a solid and dial him into the new outfit. The problem is, his friend is an ex-con. And he does not downplay this at all. He looks and talks like a con. How do you bring a guy like that into your work environment and not damage your own standing? There's a moral dilemma. We'll have an answer for Douglas a little later in the show. Does Doug's dilemma fall under the auspices of bad company? Yeah. Even if it's merely a perception problem, because like it or not, everybody judges everybody based on how they look, act, and sound. Anyone who denies this is completely full of shit. What we may try to do is hold that judgment in reserve until we get to know the other guy better. Sometimes that book cover is representative of the person, but sometimes it's not. I've had a few friends whose appearance scared the shit out of the general public, but in fact, they were wonderful guys. Think about your friends, and I do mean friends, not just acquaintances. Many people conflate the two, but of course, the differences are vast, and the definition varies by geography. The meaning of the word friend in Southern California is vastly different than the meaning in, say, Brooklyn, New York. As the old saying goes, in L.A., a friend is someone who helps you move. In New York, a friend is someone who helps you move a body. People here refer to the guy who bags their groceries as their friend. I'll never get used to that. It's such an L.A. thing. Really weird. When you think about the idea of company, good or bad, there are really four basic gradations. Positive, neutral, negative, and malevolent. Sometimes there's a smidge of spillover or overlap, but those are the basic types. Positive is what we really need, somebody that's good to hang around and good for you. Besides keeping the laughs coming, maybe they can teach you something, help you with your problems, let you know when you might be off track. These are true friends, dependable, trustworthy, easy to get along with, and most of all, they care about you. You never have to wonder if they're on your side or if they've got your best interest at heart. If you live a long life, you'll be lucky, really lucky, if you collect one or two friends of that caliber. Many of our friends are kind of beige, aren't they? Neutral. They might lend you a hand or an ear when you need it, maybe take in a game or swill some beer with you once in a while, but if you found yourself in some dire straits, would you call them first, or even second or third? Neutrals are fairly common and good to know, but we'll never feel close to them the way we do with the true positives. Another way to recognize neutrals is friends you hang out with just because they're good for passing the time, crack a beer, watch a movie, play a game, stuff like that. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that. We all need to zone out and shift into neutral for a few hours every so often. But if it's several times a week, isn't that just pissing away chunks of your life with a companion? We've probably got a negative or two in the mix, don't we? And sometimes we don't figure this out for the longest time. I know I've been duped by the negativos. How? Well, if she's female, she may be pointy. And if that's the case, all other considerations go out the window. Lots of guys never get wise to the female negative until they're broke, financially and emotionally. More cautious guys get a taste of the negative chick and wise up and walk away without too much scar tissue. And mind you, these women are not inherently evil. They would not fall into the next and final category of company. Oh, and while I'm here, I had better get back to the definition of pointy. I did say that pointy women can look wicked, and that's true. But the trick is in finding one that is wicked in appearance, but not really in demeanor. Ooh, that's not easy. Now, if it's a guy friend that's in the negative zone, and I've had a bunch of those, these tend to be dudes that get us into situations that trigger adrenaline spikes, right? If we live through whatever death-defying adventure we share with them, we come away with a great story. If not so fortunate, we get a souvenir arrest record, or maybe a disability, or if really unlucky, we get dead. We all have friends like this, especially from childhood, right up through our 20s, sometimes even our 30s, if we have yet to figure it out. And just as with pointy chicks, these dudes are not bad people. They're just not all that good for us. They have a knack for making us think that doing some insane shit will be the funniest time of our lives. And sometimes it is. But when you look back after a few weeks or months or years you go, "What the fuck was I thinking?" Negativos are sometimes persons you enjoy hanging around with because you share common interests that may not be beneficial. Booze, drugs, larceny, maybe it's not as tangible as those things. Maybe it's just someone that feeds off your negativity. You enjoy venting and raging with him or her, but does anything positive ever come out of it? If not, might be bad company. When I think about the best friends of my life, what makes them great friends isn't merely the laughs and adventures, but what we accomplished together. Every bum on Skid Row has friends, and they're all linked by failure and misery. Bad company. Sometimes it's not so easy sorting the good from the bad, mostly because we're all assholes, and sometimes we say and do things we shouldn't. But over time, you can discern who's good for you and who isn't. Try using this simple little rhyme. Look for trends with friends. Some people keep a journal, and that's a good idea, especially when you're in a turbulent or stressful period in your life, which for some of us is life itself, unfortunately, but it can really be a fast merry-go-round, and it's easy to lose perspective. A journal can help you think and see more clearly. When you hang out with somebody for a few hours, as you're driving home or taking a shower in some inert space in your mind, take note of how you feel. If you had fun, was that fun a direct result of being with that person, or was most of the fun derived from the activity you love and having your pal accompany you just took the edge off being alone? Some things are really enjoyable, but not so much when you're solamente, like eating in a more upscale restaurant or going to a concert or movie. At a restaurant, you can sit there and thumb your phone or read a book, but it's usually better with somebody across the table from you, right? Whenever I travel solo, I never sit at a table, always the bar. It really reduces the lonely factor. We all have our bags, you know, maybe it's sports or music, haunting a museum, or eating seafood. It matters not. And of course, these things can be more fun when shared. But ask yourself, when you say adios to a friend after hanging out, do you feel relieved or do you miss them? I've hung out with people that wear you out, just being around them. It's not that they're rude or mean. Sometimes they're just a bag of nerves and creators of controversy and discord. That shit wears on you fast. The last classification of company is malevolent, and while negatives might waste our time, these fuckers will waste you. Sometimes they are psychic vampires, which I got into in great detail in episode 22, Killing Psychic Vampires. Check it out at thatlarryshow.com. Now, the malevolents, they are sick, evil fucks that take psychic vampirism to another level. These people pretend to be our friends when, in fact, they hate our guts and wish us dead. Yet, they befriend us, sometimes even do us some kindness, but it's only in an attempt to get close enough to cut our tires or our throats. Pray you never encounter the species, and if you do, that you can suss them out and get the fuck away from them before they damage you. While they can be difficult to spot and come in all varieties, there are a few tip-offs to look for. Usually they are not of the opposite sex because their motivation is almost always envy. Guys envy other guys, and girls envy other girls. Those who have little or nothing going for themselves rarely run afoul of the malevolence, unless they happen to be random psychotics. But if you have achieved something in your life, if you have a talent you have developed, if you've attained some success, if you've got a smile that makes doors fly open and zippers drop, or a killer body or a flawless face, or you can really sing or dance or shred a guitar, whatever it is, some son or daughter of a bitch out there probably hates your guts. It's why celebrities are often imperiled by the malevolence. Remember Selena, the pointy Tejano singer? She was wasted by an extremely close friend who was envious of all she had. John Lennon, Dimebag Darrell, Rebecca Schaefer, and there have been dozens of attempts made on many others. But you don't have to be a celebrity. If you just have some level of star power in your own circles, you need to keep an eye out for the malevolence. They can be at school, at work, or even in your own family. They're on social media by the scads, those fucked up little talentless trolls with fake accounts who like to snipe at you. Of course, those are fleas to be ignored, but sometimes those fleas can grow into more dangerous life forms. And so the best course of action with those malevolents is, if in doubt, cut them out. They try to blow smoke at you and use elaborate head fakes, flattery, maybe even doing you favors you never asked for. These are all red flags. Beware. Now that we've cataloged and diagrammed the various friends and frenemies in our lives, it's time to get back to the very difficult situation Douglas faces. He was done a solid by a dude, and now he wants to return the favor, but doing so could easily jeopardize his own livelihood. The friend he wants to help is a bit of a social liability, a good dude, but a jailbird who comes across that way. I was once in a slightly similar situation. I was working for a company and became friends with a very likable guy, Ralph. Company was full of weasels. Well, of course it was. It was in Hollywood. Anyway, Ralph was a general go-to kind of guy. You know, he'd haul gear and drive trucks to shoots, stuff like that. And one day, he disappeared. Nobody knew what had happened to him. Just fell off the face of the earth. It wasn't a union gig for a major studio, and often guys that take those kinds of jobs are roustabouts. They'll buzz off with some chick or ship out on a freighter, and nobody gives it much thought. And then one day, a few weeks after Ralph vanished, I get a call at my office. Some operator at such and such California Correctional Institution, and would I accept a collect call from Ralph? As they always say, there are no mysteries. I accept, and Ralph gets on the line and tells me he's got two strikes on him with that California felony deal. And if this trial goes south, he's doing a hard time. He wants me to stand up for him as a character witness. Now, Ralph was a nice guy, but I had once seen him go off on somebody for not a lot of cause. It's kind of scary. And when I asked him what he was in for, he got vague. The fact was, I had really no idea what Ralph's character was. We joked around at work, had lunch a couple times, and that was it. For all I really knew, he might have been a serial killer. I have an attorney pal who's a pretty smart guy, and he always used to say that people should go through their lives imagining their worst mistakes will wind up on the front page of the New York Times. Since I really don't know Ralph or what the hell he had done or on those other felony convictions, I was not about to forever link my name to his. Much as I did not want to, I had to refuse his request. Now, Douglas's situation is not too far afield, and complicating it is the fact that Doug's convict pal was fired in the act of helping Doug, so it's natural that Doug feels he owes him something. Doug, there are a couple of ways you can go here. You can simply let your convict friend know that they are hiring and tell him who to contact at your employer's and leave it at that. Or you can go the extra mile and talk to your current boss. Lay it out for him with no embroidery. Simply that you used to work with a guy who has a record, but you believe he has straightened out and would be an asset to the company. And would he please give him an interview? If you want to go the extra 2 miles, get your pal out for a beer. Sit him down and red pill him on perception versus reality. And that while you know he's a good dude, some of his speech and mannerisms might be holding him back, and maybe he'd consider doing a slight makeover on himself. You can tell him it's not a matter of changing who he is or hiding from his past. It's a matter of putting his best foot forward. Whatever reason he wound up in jail certainly was not the best part of him. So why highlight that when he doesn't have to? Good luck with this, Doug. I hope it works out for both of you. And please let me know how it goes. Now there's some big, big news afoot here at the Take No Shit Dojo. Later next month, we're looking down the barrel of episode 100. How the hell did that happen so fast, huh? How often do we get to 100 of anything in life? It's a pretty damn big deal, and so we want to celebrate it right, and we're going to do it with Open House at the Dojo. You've been listening to me for all these episodes. Now, how about we listen to you? Call this number, 302-71-LARRY. That's 302-715-2779. And sound off with whatever is on your mind. Shout out to your girlfriend. Call your boss a shitbag. Confess your sickest thoughts. Suggest show ideas. Tell the world your IQ or the length of your inseam. We don't give a shit. Just say it, and we'll play it. Just get busy soon, because it's going to take me a while to edit and organize and make sense of it all. So the sooner you call in, the better your odds are of hearing you. Of course, you'll be in good company. I fully expect to hear from Dick Masterson and his crew, as well as some other very special guests. So be a part of podcast history and mouth off. There's also a very special bonus episode coming before this month's end, so stay close and listen up. If you've yet to join the dojo, this is a great time to do it. Go to patreon.com/thatlarryshow. For all the special episodes available only there, as well as signed books, custom recordings, and more. If you're listening on iTunes, throw the show a 5-star review. It helps smooth out your karma. And swing by the show's homepage, thatlarryshow.com, for more commentary, pictures, and videos. Oh, there's a very, very special video going up there for this episode. It's of a very pointy, hot vixen pledging her loyalty to the dojo. You do not want to miss her. You might even know her. It's only at thatlarryshow.com. Meet me this weekend for Sinner Sunday, when we'll be going off on our favorite targets, hypocrites. You know those holy rolling phonies who go around whispering prayers and wearing 100-watt halos? Meanwhile, they've rat-fucked everyone they've ever met. It'll be a lot of fun. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again, everyone. And a special thank you to the Patreonies. I'll see you Sunday. And until that time, take no shit. We'll be right back.